Blog Talk Radio.
Scotland forever and fled to the continent and then went to Rome.
and it's a name that goes down in cowardice and infamy in Scottish history. On this day in Canadian-American-British relations, there was the Rush-Bagot Agreement, where the U.S.-Canadian border was to be unarmed, and still is unarmed in effect today. So, although they are concerned about terrorists. In 1861, Lincoln outlawed business with the Confederate States. Get this, the South, Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy, initiated conscription, or the draft. So the South had a draft, too. You don't hear too much about that. It was conscription for white males 18 or over. And in 1862, Lincoln abolished slavery in the District of Columbia, and then a year later came up with the Emancipation Proclamation, which did not abolish slavery, which was temptation to the South to, if they rejoined the Union, Lincoln would find a way to resolve the slave question. And if they didn't come back into the Union at a certain date, then he would issue his freedom for the slaves. In 1866, we had the first assassination on Alexander II, the Tsar of Russia, who supported Lincoln in the Civil War. And, of course, if you go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site and look up Palada, the Russian sailor, P-A-L-A-D-A, at A-M-I-C-U-S-V-E-R-I-T-A-S, there's a little history there of the Russian Navy coming to the political support of the Union in our Civil War. Also in 1866, Ebenezer Bassett became the first black diplomat. He was posted to Haiti. And then when you go to the post office, I don't know if they're going to still have books of postage stamps, but in 1900, the first book of postage stamps was issued. 1917, and this is still relevant today, Lenin, through a deal he made with the Kaiser and the German government in World War I, he returned to Russia through St. Petersburg and started the Russian Revolution, which was successful, overthrew the Tsar, and later assassinated him, or executed him and his entire family. In 1940, we had the first TV broadcast of a baseball game. The Sox, Chicago White Sox versus the Chicago Cubs, was the next exhibition game. Then one of the worst fires in Texas and in its history and in the United States, a place called Texas City had a major fire. It started in oil refineries, and over 500 people were killed in that fire. And back to Canadian history, in 1982, Queen Elizabeth II proclaimed Canada's constitution. And they never had a written constitution until Pierre Trudeau became Prime Minister of Canada. Now, also, there's a case in the Canadian Supreme Court. They're not as prestigious as the U.S. Supreme Court. But anyway, there's a case on wiretapping where Canadian police in the provinces can wiretap a suspect without getting a court order. They can do it on basis of suspicion and to prevent like a fatality. And this is what this case was. There were kidnapped victims, and the Canadian police, I think in British Columbia, wiretapped the suspects, and the Canadian court upheld the introduction of the wiretap information. But they, even though they said that the wiretap wiretapping was illegal, so it's an interesting contradiction here. So now the case is before the Canadian Supreme Court, and they have issued an order to the Canadian Parliament giving them a year to correct this mistake and make it legal for Canadian cops, I guess, to wiretap people when they get a proper warrant. And in 1990, back to the courts, we have the Supreme Court of the United States rejecting an appeal, a death execution appeal from a retarded guy named Dalton Prejean, who murdered a Louisiana state trooper. Among the birthdays today, the guy who founded the British Museum, if you're ever in London, you must go to the British Museum. Hans Sloane started it in 1660. One of the great French writers, Anatole France, was born today. He was also involved in the Dreyfus case. Captain Dreyfus was a Jewish army officer who was railroaded into prison for allegedly selling military secrets to the Germans after the Franco-Prussian War. And it's a famous case involving Emile Zola, the great author, and Anatole France was one of those writers of France, intellectuals who came to the support of Emile Zola, who was accused of sedition because he accused the French government of railroading Captain Alfred Dreyfus, famous case. One of the Wright brothers is born today, Wilbur. Charlie Chaplin, the great actor, born today. Polly Adler, who was known as the Madam, the New York Madam, she was born today. Now, it's interesting about this Secret Service alleged scandal in Colombia, the country of Colombia, about procuring prostitutes. Nobody has identified the gender or of these prostitutes. Were they of age? And were they for somebody else? Now, this is not well known, but a European king came to the United States, and he had a taste for black women. So the police department of that particular city, I'm not going to name the city, procured some black women to keep this king happy in his tour and visit to that major American city. It was a major police department. So this does go on. There are requests, especially from some of these countries where women are used as chattel and looked upon as something to be enjoyed and to serve men. Great actor today, born today, Peter Ustinov. It's interesting. Russian, he was, although he lived in Britain, his grandmother was an African, I think Ethiopian. And if you want to see the, probably one of his best roles is in Quo Vadis, where he played Nero and played the liar, and several other Inspector Perot, great actor, great voice. Henry Mancini, a pop music conductor, composer. Kingsley Amis, British writer. Herbie Mann, another jazz musician. And those of you Bobby Soxers of the 50s, Bobby Vinton, pop singer, was born today. And this is a great classical commentator for the Metropolitan Opera. One day he flubbed his words so much when he introduced the show. He said, "Stay stewed for the news," when he meant this was the intermission at the Metropolitan Opera, which is heard nationally. Broadcast on Saturday across the country and across the continent. So he got over that, stay stewed for the nudes. Among the deaths today, Francisco Goya y Lucentias. He did the caricatures of the Napoleon's atrocity in the Peninsula War during the Napoleonic Wars, which extended into Spain, in which the Duke of Wellington fought the French and drove them out. Greatest baseball player died today, Babe Ruth. We'll play in some clips from our archives. Great Hungarian Jewish conductor, 43 years old. He died, he was drowned. István Kertész, he has some great recordings. And those of you who enjoy some of the great films like Lawrence of Arabia, Gandhi, David Lean died today. One of the best black authors who wrote Invisible Man, Ralph Ellison. Then the daughter of Marlon Brando was born today, or no, died today. And then one of the Golden Greeks. So people have forgotten about after World War II, a lot of the Greeks, including the one that married, or Aristotle Onassis, who married Jacqueline Kennedy, they got into the shipping business. And some of them made their money by shipping drugs. But Stavros Nikanoros, he died today. But these Greek shipping magnates were called the Golden Greeks. Now, on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, we're doing a series on the origin of this bicycle agenda or this new leisure class, because the people who ride these bicycles are people. Well, we do have people who go to work on them, and now people who work in offices are saying, hey, you know, do I have to smell this person who's ridden a bike and to work and is all sweaty? Shouldn't he take a shower? or go to the bathroom and clean up before coming into the office. And, you know, we have to be deal with the what we used to call BO, body odor. But anyway, we do have, used to be that bicyclists in major cities were couriers. And it's hard work. They had to dodge traffic. But there's a new crowd which seems to have, who ride expensive bikes. They do not obey the traffic laws. They put their wheels on the road but don't follow the rules of the road. They have a lot of disposable income for cappuccino, expensive coffees. Some of them are into drugs, cocaine and that, and also expensive dinners and going to the theater and all of that. But they don't pay for license to bicycles. They don't have liability insurance. They don't have safety devices like lights and front searchlight and a back red light. Like the old days when we were kids, so you had the three-wheeled tricycle, and it had a little bell, and you warned people that you were coming. These, a lot of these bikes are not equipped like that. And we've had two deaths within the last year here in San Francisco. And last year we had a crazed bicyclist on the sidewalk who ran down a woman and injured a senior citizen. So that's still outstanding. But this goes on all the time. That's become a leisure class with special rights, privileges, and exemptions, and they are trying to become a political force. Now, what the latest YouTube video that has gone up, the origin of the bike agenda, and after the French were defeated in 1940, the German army marched into France, or overran France, and marched into Paris, and I have this from some archives. This is fair use. The German army marching into Paris. Now, after the German army finished their march into Paris and got settled in, the Gestapo came behind them with a list, and what they did was they confiscated the driver's licenses of Jews and other non-Aryans and refugees from other parts of Europe who thought they were safe in France. They also banned and confiscated automobiles that Jews and others owned, and they encouraged or discouraged the French from having automobiles. In fact, you'll see that the French had to modify bicycles. So it's on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. Now, also those bike lanes that are being painted on our roads and streets. Now, this originated in Holland, also during World War II, where the German administration ordered the Dutch to paint these bike lanes in for bicyclists. Also, the Dutch didn't have that many cars. And it's a country where it's always been bike-friendly. But remember that, those of you who know your geography, that Holland is flat, it's small, a lot of it's just below sea level or above, even with its dikes. And the country is old and famous, or infamous, depending on how you want to look at it. And it wasn't designed for cars. So that's an issue there, that they had the bicycles before really automobiles. Now, it's interesting to note that the Germans invented the bicycle, but they're not big bicycle users. Bicycles have their role for pleasure. People don't mind the bicycles along the beach, in the parks, college campuses, but commercial areas, business areas, and on highways makes no sense, especially in America, because we operate on four wheels. Four wheels moves our economy, not two. And also in places like San Francisco, it's very hilly. You know, you can't pedal your groceries up a hill. It's also unsafe to have kids on the back, especially with we are a car-oriented and truck-oriented society, and that's how we keep our economy moving. Now, we're going to have an interesting, we're going to put this up. We have the film clip of an American who became Swedish citizen, and he worked his oil business out of Sweden. And just before World War II, he gave up his American citizenship, became a Swedish citizen. He had a lot of international contacts, especially in Nazi Germany. And what happened was he got there was a blacklist of businessmen who were doing business with the Nazis. And this was also an attempt to blackmail this guy into working for MI5 and the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, the predecessor of the CIA. And this guy's name was Erik Eriksson, and he made several trips on his Swedish passport into Germany to meet his former, well, his business partners in the oil business, because it is a fraternity. Everybody knows each other, one another. And what he was doing was spying for the Allies. Anyway, he brought back this information from his trips when he returned to Stockholm, and Gestapo got wise to him and were surveilling him, and later figured out what he was spying and tried to apprehend him. He escaped through the underground and through a Danish underground, ended up in Copenhagen, and where the Gestapo tried to apprehend him, and the bicyclists. This may be the origin of critical mass. The bicyclists in Copenhagen got together and blocked a Gestapo car and soldier from apprehending the spy, and he got away and returned successfully to Stockholm. Came a book called The Counterfeit Traitor, and Erik Eriksson died, I think, in the early 80s. Anyway, we have the clips to show how this is depicted very accurately in the film The Counterfeit Traitor. So you can go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. It should be up later this week. And also, the question, maybe the reason that Rick Santorum got out of the presidential race, I don't. Maybe it was money, but more importantly, it's the Penn State question. What did he know and when did he know it? And what, if anything, he tried to do about what he should have known. That what was going on, and also that's been quiet lately. But for those of you who are followers of American presidential politics, the only president ever to come out of Pennsylvania was James Buchanan, the 15th president. He was a diplomat. He was accused of being gay. Queen Victoria, he was minister to England during I think Franklin Pierce administration. And Queen Victoria called him the prettiest man she ever laid eyes on, and she did have an eye for the men. Prince Albert was a stud, a royal stud in more ways than one. Anyway, he became the Democratic Party's a nominee for president, and he is vice president, Rufus Duvain King. They roomed together, and Duquesne King was a pretty good-looking man, and there were whispers and all this gossip that these two were lovers or had a relationship. But Rufus Duvain King was sworn in as vice president, but he took a trip to Cuba, and he died there 30 days after he was sworn in as president. So Buchanan didn't have a vice president. Buchanan had a sweetheart in Pennsylvania, but she died, and he was a bachelor remaining his term in the White House. And he was unfortunately considered a weak president, but he was the only one from Pennsylvania. We'll be doing more on our book, Political Animals or The Political Animal, and a lot of interesting anecdotal things. Now, we have this scandal here in California where the head of the Fish and Game Commission went to Idaho and shot a cougar, and then had these gaudy photos of the cougar, and it got into the California press, and the anti-hunting people, anti-gun people, were outraged. He should have listened or followed Harry Truman's advice when Harry Truman asked why he didn't hunt. He said, "I don't believe in shooting at anything that can't shoot back." So maybe that's the best thing that people really should, unless they're game wardens and they're doing culling, because that is necessary, that they shouldn't go up in this sport, making a sport out of killing animals or a big game hunting, even if they do eat the cougar, which he did, although he may be eating crow eventually down the road. So that's our political anecdote for the day. There'll be more on the origins of these political phenomenons and controversies that we are being bombarded with. For instance, it's very interesting that our economics, the radical left economics, come from a guy named John Maynard Keynes, Keynes. And it turns out that John Maynard Keynes was connected to the Russians, the Soviets, the communists. Also, he was a homosexual who was involved with this clique of people, famous authors and people who promoted pedophilia and gay marriage and all of that. And it seems like they're the people who are behind a lot of this in our society are similarly supporters of national socialist economics. So we need to take a closer look at this, and it's afflicted people in the media, the morons. Also, keep in mind that Pulitzer Prizes were issued today. We don't know, had a chance to see who they were given to, but just don't forget Janet Cook, the Washington Post young lady, black, one of their first blacks they hired, who fabricated this piece of horrible fiction about an eight-year-old black kid who was a heroin addict, and she got a Pulitzer Prize for this, and it turned out the whole thing was a force in the farce. So she had to give the prize back. Washington Post apologized, and we have media fictions, I guess would be the word to use. We also have the case of Walter Durante, who was back in the 30s, who went to Russia, New York Times correspondent. He was English by citizenship and birth, and he covered up Stalin's deliberate starvation of the peasants who didn't want to give up their farmland. It was like 20 million people were starved to death by Stalin, and Walter Durante covered this up. There is photographic documentation and diplomatic cables regarding what really happened. Durante got a Pulitzer Prize, and it's never been given back. He's dead now. But Stalin co-opted him, like a lot of these guys are co-opted with drugs, sex, money, condos, and for instance, here in San Francisco, two of the worst media morons got HUD money. One guy allegedly got $1 million in community development block grant funds. He's dying of AIDS. His karma apparently has caught up with him. Another guy worked for a legal paper, Dirty Dennis, so patrony, got a condo, a low-income condo. He did a hit piece on Stephen Neri, which we will expose. So we will be back Wednesday, and we will have some new stuff, and also we will put up the origin of critical mass on what we think is the origin. I couldn't find anything else anywhere else. So we'll end with our usual theme, politics and poker. We haven't seen any of these candidates play poker yet, not even Mr. O.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
little trade's good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call. I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try like a Vanyashinkovic, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
Well, we'll be back Wednesday, 4 o'clock, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.